We never promised you a rose garden. We look like crap and we don't have a hymen. It's live from the five hole. Faxes from UncleDale.com's weekly podcast, as well as the weekly podcast of the Sam Fells But Who's Buying newsletter. I am Sam Fells, your host and said writer of said newsletter. You can find me on Blue Sky at Fellsgate. We are coming to you in a post-Bears, post-football, except for one game, malaise, which means we'll get back to our bread and butter, which of course means we have to be in fatal four-way formation with the usual crew. Leading off with Dr. Viral, he is the biggest jackass, no talent in the business, and he's the CEO of WBCW and Wrestling Brain's Twitch channel every Monday night at 9 Central. You can find him on Blue Sky at Torque Penderloin. It's Andrew Cieslak.
Too angry.
Too angry. Larry Horse, say too angry.
Too angry.
He's working the ones and twos for us tonight. He's our supervising technician, and he's our technical supervisor, and he's Hollywood's go-to grizzled crank. You can find him on Blue Sky at Matt McClure, but please don't. Strangely enough, it's Matt McClure.
Riddlin', diddlin', and hot country fiddlin'.
Hot country fiddlin'. And last but not least, he is the Oracle of Humboldt Park, he's the goal line assassin, and he's the archivist. You can't find him on Blue Sky at Fifth Feather, but he might find you. He's lurking in the night. It's Fifth Feather John.
I'm here to guard the rim.
Guard the rim. So now that we are a week and a half past the Bears exiting stage left, and we are no longer Chicago's best football podcast, although, I mean, we are, but only in spirit now, we have to return to what brought us to the people in the first place, and that is the West Side Hockey Club. None of us like it, but we will fulfill our duty. And don't worry, folks, John's yellow pad, which is a slightly different shade of yellow for the Hawks than it is for the Bears. It's two different pads. It's more of a canary for the Hawks. It's full, and he's got thoughts, and I'm just supposed to turn him loose. John, take it away.
Oh, you're not supposed to turn me loose. I have things I want to talk about with you.
Was that Foreigner or 38 Special?
I'm going to turn John and myself loose, but I'm going to let John prompt me.
Yeah, no, the Hawks
and
yellow
possibly
pad.
Possibly taunt me.
Too loose.
The Hawks yellow pad, let's put a disclaimer Loverboy out there. Not even close to being what a NFL yellow pad looks like.
I mean, how could it be?
No, it can't. It can't. So, don't want to get the kids' hopes up.
I think the kids by this point have exact reasonable expectations of what our hockey discussion will look like.
Yeah, no, I think the one thing that I wanted to talk about, because I don't think we've talked about it on the actual show, only on the real show a couple of times, because they've showed it on the broadcast now God knows how many times, and Darren Pang keeps talking about if a goalie wasn't holding the knob of his stick, imagine how many goals Connor Bedard would have. Well, I hate to break it to people, but that stick's not going anywhere. The knob is not going anywhere. It's there intentionally. And Connor Bedard needs to figure out some other place to shoot, because he's not going to score goals in that spot if he keeps shooting there.
Goalies intentionally hold their stick that way so that you might hit it.
Yes. So he did it again last night, Connor Bedard. And I think it was when the game was, I don't believe it was overtime. I think it would have been either to break the tie or no, maybe it was overtime. It was overtime. It was when they had the power play. He did the toe drag and snapped it off and knocked Wellstead's stick right out of his hand.
Yep.
But
and broke his stick.
Right. And the puck went out of play. The puck did not go in the net, or not the right net at least. And
it went into the netting, which
yeah,
is definitely a word.
That's where I wanted to start, because I do think that there's Darren Pang is creating this.
Uh-oh.
Here we go again.
Wasn't there. Imagine an inch to the left or an inch to the right. Well, what if he shot in a completely different spot where the goalie wasn't standing?
If grandma had balls, she'd be grandpa.
Right. What if instead of shooting where there was something in the way, he shot where there wasn't something in the way?
Yeah, you always run the risk of hitting that knob when you shoot it in that direction at that height. I think that's why you always see guys preferably shooting glove side. in Connor's case, I think perhaps he can start snapping them between the legs, because there's plenty of space there as well. I just think that he needs to figure out another spot to shoot, because hitting the knob of the stick is just annoying me at this point. And I'm sure it's annoying him.
But it takes a long time, John, for young go-hards and hot shots to learn that the five hole is always open with a release like that. They think it's cool. They want to do the bar down. They want to water bottle that shit. Mm-hmm. No, score goals low.
Yep. I guess that's what probably made Taves kind of rare, in that he was doing it from the get-go.
He was wise beyond his years and made a captain at 19 years old, is because he knew to shoot low.
Yep.
Hot dog. Kane, garbage
and then, dick. And then last night, we, of course, always treated to Louis Crevier doing something buffoonish, which we were once again, when 3'8" Matt Zuccarello just out-muscled him.
Norwegian Shireling, Matt Zuccarello.
just out-muscled him around the corner. And again, I asked.
Third cousin twice removed to Peregrine Tuke.
Is that not supposed to happen at somebody his size? I thought.
Yeah.
So people couldn't turn the corner on him because of his long reach and because he's so big. But apparently that's what happened. Now, the other thing, Sam, you've been paying closer attention to the Hawks, and this is where I want to bring you in here.
Okay.
Why is Louis Crevier and Alex Vlasic be getting paired up with the top line?
Because they're the shutdown pair, John.
They're the number one pair. And they believe that they are both offensively inclined, because they skate well for their size. I would say Vlasic just skates well. And they've somehow confused Louis Crevier's ability to shoot the puck really hard as something that makes him a puck mover, which it does not. But they've been pretty good together. All the numbers back it up. I can't refute that. And at the moment, there really isn't another candidate. They don't trust Levshinov and Kaiser to do it. I can't say they're wrong. And
yeah, I think that would be my thing would be, that should be the pairing that's playing with that top group, right? You want Bedard to be playing with Levshinov.
I would like Bedard and Levshinov on the ice together as much as possible, but Levshinov has not earned that right lately. And it's, you know, it's not easy to just always pair a defensive pair with
to justify that, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
I think Levshinov's probably worth his own discussion, because we'll let people in behind the curtain.
Oh, he's on the pad. He's on the pad. Don't worry. We'll get
We'll get there. Okay, we'll save it. But I agree with you. I want my most offensively inclined defenseman with my most offensively inclined line as often as I can get it. I don't know if they don't trust him, or they think Alex Vlasic is their most offensively inclined defenseman. Which is weird. I don't think they do, because he's not on either of the power play units, so they don't do that.
If he is, then your blue line sucks, which...
It might.
Well, good news, because these are the guys who are going to be playing there for the next 15 years. Yeah. Because no one else is coming.
My suggestion, and Slack will take this the other way, is that no Hawks player under 25 seems to know where the weight room is. Because you have Louis Crevier at 6'8" and Levshinov at 6'4", correct?
I think he's a generous 6'2", is what he's listed
and in. And others on the team, and they all just get knocked over. I mean, I know Michigan State has a weight room. So, you know, what are they having these guys? How, you know, this was Korchinski's problem. They're like, oh, he's got to get stronger. And okay, he's coming out of junior, so that's fine. And then it just never happens.
But his game wasn't supposed to be physicality. Right, it was supposed to be all speed. Just, you know, just be a little bit less light in the ass.
There comes a time when every defenseman has to actually stand up and be counted in front of his own net. You have to be representative there.
Bleed all over and let him know you're there.
Let him know you're there. And the last two wild goals were just Kaiser and Levshinov getting outworked. in front of their net. Now I know Joel Eriksson Ek is a load, but that's the job. And they don't, it just never, you know.
I got a load for you.
Yeah, I bet you do. But anyway, John, I wish I could answer your questions. I don't know why Lev Chenault, I mean, they just don't trust him to back up that line defensively. And I can't say they're wrong.
Well,
what else is
I would
Canary
rather
pad?
Than. No, I mean, I think that's, I understand it. And certainly Lev Chenault has not done himself any favors in some of the stupid things that he does that he can't be trusted. And he hasn't earned that trust.
Yeah.
So I understand that. But also it's like, well, he's also 20.
Well, let's get to him.
You might as well let him play with the guys who matter.
Yeah. The debate in the real show, for people who want to know, John and I have taken the side that Lev Chenault, even at 20, might be too stupid.
Correct. Last night
20 and with a language barrier.
They never showed the replay of it, so I didn't get a chance to see
it. I think they were protecting him.
I think so, too.
Pravda.
Yeah. He jumped out on the ice when it was 3-on-3, and nobody came to the bench.
There was no one near the bench. He wasn't coming out. He just jumped on the ice.
And so then...
So, you know, he does the Trevor Daly thing.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
This hamster's been off the wheel like no other. Yeah, it's bad.
Got a bad hamster tonight, John.
John, when you drop, do you just not hear us also?
Well, he's talking.
Yeah. He's talking. He's not going
to
listen.
Right. Here we go. I'm closer to the router now.
Oh, things okay. Then we're fine. Yeah. Everything's fine. Then.
I'm going to fucking lose it.
My thing with Lev Chenault is I don't care about language barrier. This has nothing to do with the language barrier.
I know. That was the joke.
It's just, you know, it's the jumping on the ice because he needed to stretch. I don't know. He just jumps on the ice. Passing the guys who are making a change. Passing the guys who are standing still on the power play when you're trying to break in. Just the sort of lack of instinct in the defensive zone. I watch him and I watch Nazar and I watch Moore. And it's not that I think any of these guys are bad necessarily. I'm just trying to project them out. And I get there's someone I'm missing. You know, Rinzel is probably on this list too. I get the impression that the scouting that was done on these kids in the draft was they skate fast and we'll figure out the rest later.
Which, again, not the worst scouting process we've ever heard.
You're kind of supposed to scout the whole package.
Yeah, but Stan went for these guys are big. And then we'll figure out the rest later.
I'm not saying I prefer that. That was bad too. You know, the problem with trying to discuss the Hawks, the problem with being something of a Hawks podcast, problem with being something of a Hawks writer, is that we don't know what the context of this season and these games are. We can't know it for another 2 or 3 years. So I can sit here and look at Frank Nazar and say he hasn't scored in 3 months, right? He's on a Beavis streak here.
Has he ever scored? Yeah, I don't think he's...
he's on a Beavis streak here, and I don't know if that means this guy just isn't a scorer, or we look back on it and it's like, yep, that was his rookie wall, and he got through it, and look what it helped him become. We can't know that. And that's all they are.
Well, I think within the next couple weeks, we're going to get a pretty clear indication of what everyone's best friend, the handsome and erudite Kyle Davidson, thinks this season is by who gets you know traded in for pennies on the dollar here.
Well, what could he possibly think this season is? They're 7 points out of a playoff spot. They're out of it.
What we did, again, we've spent a lot of time and a lot of oxygen talking about what Kyle is deluding himself into these seasons, plural, going on five now, being, and or whether this is all a cynical ploy to maintain employment.
I mean,
maybe we only let's look at it from just the roster building aspect instead of the political job keeping aspect, because that's just pointless. Who cares? We're never going to know the answer to that question. But the point is, he's told everybody who can listen numerous times that we're not trying to acquire good players. So Cap's why would you expect now. Otherwise? And, well, and trading these guys off the players. Roster, trading these guys off the roster, or it's Murphy or Mikheyev or whoever, there's nothing you can, you're not getting anything for them other than more useless draft picks that you can't roster. I just don't understand what.
Just so we can acquire another corpse like Ryan Ellis.
So you trade these guys off the roster, which you kind of have to because you're not keeping them anyway. You're getting more picks, and then you're calling up who?
Well, if I were to map this out after the break, they're gonna, you know, Rinzel and Korchinski will
Rinzel
be
got
either.
Hurt.
No, he's I'll back.
Hurt. Oh, he's back. Fine. Okay, fine.
Yeah, he got clowned by Matt Murray, the goaler, at the end of the Admirals game. It was all over the hockey subreddit.
Oh, that's a quality place to spend your time. Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. Yes. I'm sure he's brimming with confidence now.
Yeah.
I imagine that when, unless they go to the Frozen Four, Boisvert, it's not Boisvert.
Sasha Barra Cohen. Yep.
Stinks.
He will be here. They seem to think Frondell will show up for the end of the season.
Okay, but there's months until that happens. What are they doing for 2 months?
This.
But without the guys who are actually doing stuff, because Nazar and Bedard aren't scoring. So
you hit on something on the real show that I think we should let the kids in on.
Feel free.
That I think is a really valid point to what is being spoken about right now. And that's, there was something this week about trading the veterans and someone like Jason Dickinson saying he doesn't want to leave because he likes everybody here so much.
And he's had a great few years.
Yeah. Like that's the issue right there.
Lose.
That's the problem. Everybody's very comfortable in the environment that the Hawks have cultivated, which is, just try.
Oh, come on.
No big deal because we have young kids that are going to come up eventually in 3 years. So this isn't really that important.
Well, let me play devil's advocate here. I'll play the role of someone who's usually on board. Call me Jay Zawoski. Sorry, Jay, I had to. That joke doesn't work because his name is Jay. Anyway, what else is Jason Dickinson gonna say when they ask about that? Like, oh, I fucking hated it here and all we did was
lose.
Yeah,
Seth Jones did.
Yes, I would like the chance to play some meaningful hockey.
I would like to win a cup. Yeah.
Like, seriously, you can play it both ways with this. You can say, like, no, I've had a great time here, but, you know, I know the realities of this business, and, you know,
I want to play playoff hockey again before my career's over.
Yes.
Has Jason Dickinson played playoff hockey?
A little bit.
Yeah, I think he played at the COVID. Wasn't he on that Dallas team?
He was taking a knee, if we remember.
That doesn't count, but okay.
But he was at least, you know, he was on a somewhat competitive team. Stars team went to the fucking final, at least.
I noticed
it did.
That
it did. Yeah.
I noticed that when ESPN or TNT last night, whoever had the national coverage of whatever the game was doing the TSN in Canada, longest playoff droughts, and the Hawks' brief sojourn in Edmonton keeps them off that list, but theirs is actually 9 years. You know, they're up there with the Sabres and the Red Wings and who's the other one? There's a third one. But yeah, so nice bit of bookkeeping there.
Technically it counts in the NHL history books, even though if we don't count
it.
So that's, but you're right. I mean, it's been almost 10 years now since they actually played a legitimate playoff series.
Right. But that's not all.
It's certainly been 10 since they've won a series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The last series they won was against Tampa.
It'll be 11 it's 11 now. We talk about Dickinson. Like, we've talked plenty about how well players are treated here, how the organization makes their lives as easy as can be.
Well, and they should, and they have tried to accommodate people that actually want to move on and play playoff hockey. Right. Regardless of whether
they're coddling these guys too much, Sam.
you want them on the Cleveland bus? Yeah. You want them on the plane?
No, I mean,
I want.
You know, I guess I don't know because I'm not sure what I want. I just know that it's. I don't like the way that it sounds. The same thing that Andrew said about the way Dickinson was sad to leave here and didn't want to leave. Connor Murphy has echoed the same things. I guess I just don't like it. It just doesn't rub me the right way.
Okay, Christina Aguilera.
No, it sounds like
right
loser
Seth,
shit.
Seth was the only one who had the right attitude, and anyone who yelled at him afterwards can just kiss his ring.
But at the same token, I'm also cognizant of Foligno yapping in a locker room after. You know, they get their doors blown off. Like, I don't need that either.
Well, what do you want?
I don't know. I guess I just know it when I see it.
Yeah, that's fair. I think we should all prep for Foligno coming back, by the way. I think you should all just gird your loins.
Oh, he'll die in that uniform.
They need to give somebody $5 million.
Right, so they have to pay someone $5 million.
Like,
so.
we're acquiring dead contracts. Draft picks we can't use, and we're go-betweens for real teams who want to make trades, and that's it.
Without telling them what they're actually doing.
Yeah, none of your business. Okay, fine.
Yeah. I mean, but, again, we always do the show where, Slack, it's usually you pointing it out. Who is there to sign? Who is there to trade for?
You can make trades. There's been trades.
But, again, speaking of go-betweens and making trades, fucking Rantanen got traded twice in a month.
Right, but are you making a trade for Rantanen when you're 2 years away from the playoffs?
No, but that's what I'm saying. Like, Wayne Gretzky got traded. You could trade for anybody.
Yeah, what if you traded for a few guys and then you're less time away from the playoffs? What about that? I guess that's not a thing you can do.
Because
you have to rebuild.
I'm on your side, but I think there is an argument to be heard that we're not going to make our splash just to get into the playoffs. We're saving the splash for when we're contenders.
Well, yeah, no, they're not going to be buyers here, but I'm talking like draft day, off-season kind of stuff, like start to actually like load up. Like,
hey, John. Right.
Now, the problem
hold
with
on.
That...
Hold on, John.
Yes?
When are the Hawks going to be contenders?
Oh, that 2029, I believe.
No, actually, the answer is never.
Never, right.
Well, the risk that they're running is that when they say, hey, we're ready to actually splash, 75% of the kids that they've been counting on have proven to be third liners, and no one wants them.
Exactly. You've got to self-scout now. And again, John brought this up again, where they thought Oliver Moore it was Lardes who got fucking demoted, and they're like, well, we didn't expect to be this good here, but we're going to demote him anyway. Like, self-scout!
Right. Yeah.
Who was the other one who they didn't think would be any good, and he turned out to be good?
Renzel.
Right.
Renzel. But now he sucks again, so they were actually
But now
right
he sucks again,
that.
So everything, yeah. The world is makes sense.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I mean, it's they tell on themselves when they do stuff like that. So it's like, okay, well, if you weren't, why do you have such low expectations of your young players? Or why are you constantly underselling them?
Except for the ones you oversell.
Right.
Renzel was going to be the... Calder Trophy top pairing, remember, after eight
well,
games.
Well, let's not forget, yeah, that's a good point. Again, this was something in my yellow pad, probably bigger picture type things, but let's not forget where this season started, and we can certainly pull up those excerpts about Sam Renzel locking down the top pair for the foreseeable decade. That's what people were saying at the beginning of the season.
That's what they were saying.
Yes. You're nowhere close to that. And now you got Louis Crevier in Sam Renzel's spot. That's not good.
Not where you want to be.
No. And again, Crevier is what, 24, 25? So already exiting his quote-unquote peak as a hockey player. So you're already on the downside of Crevier's career, and you got him locked down on your number one pair because he's got a booming shot. And you want to brag about him being a seventh-round pick that people said could never play professional hockey.
Right. But we start to look around, right? And again, I'm just doing this for effect. We look at Nazar. And obviously it's been a frustrating stretch, but Nazar's career mark right now, 93 games, 19 goals, 29 points, 48 assists. That's what you'd peg him as, right?
Well, I think they had him pegged as more if they paid him as much as they did.
Well, they did.
Yeah.
We'll stick with our. Oh. I mean,
you want to pat us on the back. Yes, I'll take that. Yes.
You know, that's for a burgeoning second line center if he's a center, which, you know, that's another debate. You could say that's on track. That sounds right. Correct?
I mean, yeah, if you're willing to bake in, like, growth with that, you know.
Yeah,
I don't like the peripherals right now on Nazar. Anybody that's going this long of a goalless streak, regardless of whether you're injured or not, it just does not give me good vibes as to where this is headed with him.
Yeah, I always like to check in with John and Matt because, you know, now we're playing the game. You know, when I suggest that he's just not engaged in his own zone, you know, if he's planning on being a center and he's being paid to be, that's got to change. I don't care how small you are.
You've got to at least be in someone's hip pocket, stick on stick.
Right.
That everyone can do, regardless of whether you're light in the ass or not.
Well, and
once you get into the corner, yeah, like that's going to, you know, you need the proverbial big bag of knuckles, Mystery Alaska. But like you can stay with someone in the. But again, who's to say what the fucking assignments are when you're running man to man?
I mean, I think man-to-man, the system they're running suits most of their players, but you have to want to suit. You have to want to do it. And I know his face is broken, and it's such a fine face. The other thing that worries me about Nazar watching him is, you know, when I watch Bedard, and I'm like, all right, well, if he doesn't stick at center, and I feel like that's still a debate, it's easy to see how he would be a wing. I don't get the same feeling from Nazar. If he's not a center, I don't think he's much of a wing either.
He's Vinny Hinostroza.
Yeah, well, what does that get you?
Frank Nazar's
a long enough career, but...
right, but he's not turning teams. Your franchise around.
Right.
And now that Frondell seems to be a full-time wing.
But again, competing agendas with professional men that he's playing with. They don't have to develop him. If he's there, he's there to, you know, to be a pro.
I sort of feel like if he's playing wing now, that's just what he's going to be.
I mean, never stop Joel Quenneville from trying everyone at center because Patrick Sharp is disinterested.
It hasn't stopped them with Oliver Moore, who's apparently, quote-unquote, proved himself at center.
Does everyone, like, everyone's got the fucking attention span of goddamn goldfish. Proved himself the same way that fucking Nicholas Beaudin arrived.
Right. Right.
Those guys were in, like, loser rebuild mode back then. And that's, like, years before they even did the reset or whatever.
Andrew, that's not the real build because that was Stan Bowman.
It was at the time, and then it became fake once the rebuild started.
Yep. This is Kyle's rebuild. You're confusing the two rebuilds. Yeah. That doesn't count. That doesn't count towards Kyle's. So you're just impatient.
Yeah, I mean, when they say, like, I guess what worries me is that, like, well, we have these veterans in place, but, you know, when our kids are ready, we'll just move these guys down the lineup. It's like, you can't move Ilya Mikheyev down the lineup. You haven't got anyone to move Andrei Burakovsky and his I'm not interested sign down the lineup. Like, if Oliver Moore and Ryan Green are so promising, why are they playing behind these guys?
Well, you've got to build value so you can flip them for a fifth round pick in 2029.
I mean, you're right. And in Burakovsky's case, you're not going to get anything. You're just creating space.
Yeah. And you, it's, It's almost like they're going to trade these guys and say, like, we'll also pay them. So don't worry about that.
Right.
I don't know.
Whatever. I mean, I don't know.
It just feels very pointless most of the time. And one of the things that as a, you know, I try to watch most games if I can, but you watch that
Lord
game.
Lord knows they don't make that easy either.
You also have a life. I don't. So, you know.
Well, not after 6:30 when Polly goes to bed.
Right.
They made it, you know, they had the first two periods, the broadcast is sucking them off, saying they're playing an amazing game, best game they played all year, blah, blah, blah. And they just piss it away in the most obvious way, and they've done it so many times this year, where any two-goal lead, you're like, this is not going to last. There's no chance. And it very rarely does. It's just, you know, I think the whole thing is exhausting. Everyone gets their point, and then someone gets the extra point. It doesn't matter because the Wild are so far ahead of the Hawks now, but down the line, if this does matter, that shit drives me insane.
Yeah, it should.
Ugh.
Well, and Sam, is this an actual fact? The Wild are 17-0-1 against the Hawks.
Yes, that is an actual fact.
It feels
a true fact.
They haven't lost to the Hawks in regulation in 5 years.
And did that ever get brought up on the broadcast at all?
No, it did not.
Boy, you would think that. I mean, any other team in this town, if they were 0-17-1 against an opponent over their last almost 20 games, that would be all they'd be talking about on the broadcast, especially when they went up 3-0 and they were potentially going to.
Oh, boy.
Efforting?
Oh, well.
I got you. We're back.
Okay.
Yeah, you'd think like you'd make it like we're finally gonna break this hoodoo.
Yes, every fucking White Sox game on Chisholm, when they play in Cleveland or Minnesota, you get the record of what their last 140 games at that city are, and it's not good.
Right.
And it already puts you in a foul mood.
Well, being a White Sox fan in general, yeah, puts you in a foul mood. Although not this year, apparently.
But when things are going well, at least it gives you like that added juice. And, you know, they're up 3-0. Had I known that it was going to be their first win in 20 games there, maybe I would have been more excited about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't.
That's horrible. I mean,
yeah.
Again, and that speaks to what we were talking about with Dickinson enjoying his time here. It's too comfortable. You've lost 20 games in a row to a divisional opponent. That's horrible.
No, you know what? I think you've gotten to the nugget here, which is guys like Dickinson and people for except for Seth Jones who are like, I really enjoyed my time here. I think there probably is something getting through to these players where the front office keeps coming out and saying 2028 is all that matters. We don't care about the record this year. It's fine. We're not, you know, trying to win here, and apparently it has spread to some of the veterans who have become, as you say, complacent. Like, Andre Burakovsky has sucked for 2 months now, but what's the consequence? The Hawks are going to miss the playoffs? That was always the plan anyway. Is he going to get benched?
It goes back to fucking Foligno recruiting loser Bertuzzi here.
Yeah, he's going to get his 35 goals no one cares about. I also thought
someone
there was
has to, right? That's the whole corollary.
That's the Jeff Skinner thing. Yeah. I thought there was a moment that John was going to lead off with, actually.
Uh-oh.
That would have said, because I, you know, I'm pretty good at this now. I think I recognize moments in a lot of sports where I'm like, John's scribbling madly, and he's going to lead off the podcast with this. And I don't know if you remember this. It was the 4-on-3 power play in overtime. And I believe Levshinov takes a shot, and the rebound sort of spills towards the corner, and Bertuzzi is racing to get it for 3 steps, and then just decides, nah, and heads back to the front of the net, leaving Bedard to try and make up the ground and win a one-on-one battle.
He could have been called off.
He wasn't getting there. Bedard, like, it's the power play. You're supposed to outman the guy on
right,
a clutch chase.
Right. Yeah, you can't. Yeah, you don't leave it one-on-one.
You don't leave it one-on-one. But he's like, well, I station in front of the net, and I get down on my knee, and everyone loves how I get down on my knee, so I'm going to go do that. I thought that's where John was going to lead off tonight.
He's just one of the most unpleasant to watch players ever. And I'm proving him right by even saying it, because that's his, it's his whole shit. Everything about him is look at me.
It's his whole shtick, and as I was watching him last night lose puck battle after puck battle and not really do anything, I thought, you know what? This will be the guy that Slack and I are talking about at the United Center one day, and some weirdo in front of us will turn around randomly and yell at us.
Yes, that they loved him.
They love him. Mm-hmm. How can you trade him? He's got 29 goals or whatever. And we'll just stare at each other and put our head in our hands and just be like, oh.
The human back door.
The human back door. Anyway, I believe it's time for America's favorite segment. We haven't done it in a very long time. We've been Bears-centric. We've been Bears-pilled, rightfully so. And
before John does his Reddit chumming, I want to read something that I thought was relevant of this or worthy of this segment.
Please.
From an NFL reporter who I think is one of the worst reporters going. Can I read this to you all?
Please.
Are we allowed to guess aloud who it is? Are we protecting the anonymity of the damned here?
Not at all. It's Josina Anderson.
She's got a TBI.
It's bad. She's really stupid. But this is amazing. And I love how she passes this off. So this is, I'm just going to break this down here. She posts, one leak source just told, comma, me in his opinion, comma, the Browns should do something different. Make Todd Monken and Jim Schwartz co-head coaches to assuage this conundrum. Monken, co-head coach of offense. Schwartz, co-head coach of defense. Thoughts?
So, okay, her source is Jim Schwartz.
Okay, her source is her brain, because nobody would say this, ever. What is this, the stupidest thing you've ever heard in your life? The Browns should hire didn't the Cubs do this at one point, and that's what everyone makes fun of to this day?
College like coaches?
Yes. Like, no one's ever done it, because it's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of. What? Oh, my God. Anyway.
I could have sworn that they were going to do it with make fucking Foligno player coach Reg Dunlop last year.
Wish. You might get your wish.
All right. Go ahead.
Well, you know, we're nothing if not fair and balanced. So since we were talking about...
That's our slogan. It has been for forever. Mm-hmm.
Since we were talking about the Jason Dickinson story that Blackpilled Benny wrote.
There it goes.
So here's from the other side. This is what they're saying. And if I need to effort, just let me know.
Okay.
And I'll get closer to the router.
Oh, thank you. That's very sweet of you.
And I'll turn off the Wi-Fi on all my other devices. okay, so... The biggest dumbass on the planet, in my opinion, Arm 2000, Andrew's guy.
Oh, God.
Why is he Andrew's guy?
He's horrible. Horrible. Just one of the worst opinions you can find. Go ahead.
Oh, you killed him.
No, I'm back. No, okay. I was here. Did Andrew just explain why he's his guy?
Yes, he did.
He's always arguing with him.
Yes.
Tons of respect for him, honestly. Been a class act. That's about Jason Dickinson. Okay, great.
Okay, great.
Thanks. And you know this how?
Yeah.
What, do you fucking live with him? What are you talking about?
He's my mom's favorite player for the last 3 years. He's always in the right spot. After years of watching her own bad hockey player, me, it makes sense. He's done a solid job since coming to Chicago.
Tend to agree with that.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong yet, but like, who gives a shit?
Exactly. And also, here's the part where I feel like I'm on a different planet from these people. I've kept saying he's always called a grump by his teammates, and that may make him a GTFO piece. Glad to see he's seen that in himself, too, LOL. Shows how good the young guys are becoming.
What?
I don't even know
what language this is.
Also, why... How is that showing how good the young guys are becoming? Because they're going to trade Dickinson?
I don't know. None of this makes any sense to me. How good is anyone becoming? How can you watch this team and think anyone's good at anything?
Yeah, where?
There are two guys who are pretty good, and one is still clearly fighting through an injury.
Well, ever since Bedard got hurt, and even before that, they're just grinding games out. They're not even entertaining anymore.
Yeah, they're below 500. I mean, I don't know how else to put this.
It's losing 6-5. That's one thing.
Right, or when they were winning games, just blowing teams out of the arena.
Right.
Like, even when we saw, again, not to bring it back to this, but like in 07-08, when the Hawks were getting good, when they were winning games excitingly and blowing the doors off a team 6-1, 5-2.
Right.
You're not seeing that at all since, and everything's eked out. It's just, it's gotten much worse after what I thought was at least an entertaining start. Where I wasn't expecting them to go on a playoff run, but it was at least like, I want to tune in and I want to watch this.
Right. You don't like, even if they're, you don't know what you're going to get night to night, where it could be a 6-1 win, or maybe they're going to lose 6-5. Right. But at the same time, yeah, this is not what I would call entertaining.
Piss.
This is trying to find reverse on a Russian tank. This is not a worthy adversary. I agree with you. If all these kids are so good and so promising, why do they still stink? Like, why are they not good?
Yeah, well, I don't know.
Say that they are good. These people are good.
They just think they are good based on nothing.
What are they
good at? I don't know.
They had three shots on goal. Oliver Miller had three shots on goal. He's arrived.
It's the line from Moneyball. If he's a good hitter, how come he doesn't hit good?
You would never read a negative thing about Frank Nazar on that channel.
Well, I have, you know, we're not getting to the Cretans yet, but the only question I have on mine is Sick Monkey. God bless our listeners. Is it okay to pencil in Nazar as a number two center? No.
It's not okay to pencil him in as anything.
Maybe pencil. Yeah, okay. Not pen. Don't write it in ink. I don't know his contract
for the next 7 years.
Right. He is nowhere near on the track to be Nazem Kadri 2, which is what I wanted, because he's just not nearly nasty enough to play against. And if he's going to be a pure scoring center, part of that is scoring.
Andrew's finish.
And he doesn't score at the moment. So, you know, at least he's getting the chances. But, you know, most of it's off the rush. He would need a lot of help from his wingers. But their number one center needs some help from their wingers. So I don't know what the answers are. So, yeah, you can pencil it in lightly. Just make sure your eraser isn't, like, you know, have those black marks on it where it makes it worse when you try and erase it. I'd be careful. Anyway, back to John and America's favorite segment.
All right, Andrew's guy popped in on another thread here.
Of course he did.
So they posted the recap to the
game. We sure this is an Andrew's burner.
Yeah, we are sure. He's not arguing with himself on Reddit.
Don't know that.
Mm. So this is somebody posted the Athletics recap to the game, and Mr. Arm or Miss Arm chimed in again. Just got to fix the power play.
Oh, is that it?
Yep.
That's all you got to do.
Just fix the power play. Easy enough. Yep.
And then when the power play goes
out, something else is going to go out, because bad teams aren't good at everything, let alone anything.
I think what bothers me.
That's why they're bad.
Is. And, you know, it's not just the Athletic guys or whatever. It's, you know, I don't use numbers or metrics that aren't available to everyone. I don't pay for anything. And when you say, like, oh, the power play, you know, has really let them down, it just needs a rebound, anyone can go look and see that the power play has never actually generated that many chances. It just finished a lot of them. Now, if you think a 20% shooting percentage on the power play is something normal and something a team with one bona fide scorer is going to sustain, I guess I can't help you. You know, like, these things aren't hard to find, and yet they seem to be beyond everybody.
Hmm.
And the power play stinks because it doesn't have a quarterback. Levshinov is terrified to have the puck. Matt Grizzlick is not an answer. And they don't have a forward who can do it. So it just kind of doesn't really do anything.
Matt Grizzlick's really annoying. They need to get rid of him.
Well, and there's another bone of contention I have because he's keeping our guy in Rockford. You've already given Matt Grizzlick more than he could have asked for. And this guy would be on an AHL contract somewhere without the
or
Hawks
in Europe.
PTO. Or in Europe. So he's already he's gotten 50 games.
53. He leads the team in games played. He's played in every game. Every game.
If another team is interested, the market for him has been set. You could sit him until the trade deadline when no one's going to call anyway. And he would still have to be like, thank you for the opportunity. And you can go finally give some
you
run
can
to
wave
some
him. You can not wave even him. Sit. He'll still get paid. It's guaranteed.
And yet, I'm still having to watch him. And that infuriates me. Like, I got it for the first part of the season. Okay, we need one guy we can trust to just do NHL stuff. Fine. But we're past that now. And he's not going to have any leg to stand on to bitch about playing time or his role. He knows the deal. He should. But they don't do that. And when I read stuff about, like, well, Landon Slager has earned his role, and that's why Nick Lardis has to go down, that doesn't make any sense. How does that work?
No one's earned anything.
Why is Landon Slager on the fourth line more important than looking and see what Nick Lardis could do on a top six role? What are you holding on to here?
Andre Burakovsky, clearly. And getting him going.
Well, and Slager wasn't even a Kyle pick, was he?
I don't think so.
I believe he was from the previous regime, which makes it even more weird.
They have no problem sitting Colton Dock. Landon Slager's the same thing.
What the hell is he even? I mean, I guess you have no other options, but you know, 25 now? Who gives a shit? Get him out of here, too.
I got no answers for you. It doesn't make a lot of sense. Unless you feel like you're chasing something. He's 23, so there's time is on his side. But, you know.
Boy, it feels like he's been around forever.
He's drafted in 2020, so maybe he has been. Oh, no wonder. He went to Notre Dame. At least we stopped that pipeline. All right. Well, now that I'm sufficiently depressed, we can move on. Before we get to the Cretans, I just want to go back a little bit. We're 10 days out. You've had some time to reflect. It's not quite as raw or as emotional. Do you have any final Bears thoughts before they go back in the box?
Andrew?
Final Bears thoughts?
Yeah, just, you know, if you've had more time, you feel differently. Is there something else you know?
No, I just think it'll be fun to see what happens with some of these free agents and higher paid guys on the roster who might not be worth what they're making. There's going to be some changes, and that's going to be fun to watch.
John?
Yeah, I'm just excited for the offseason to start, so let's get the Super Bowl over with and start the clock.
Bears around the clock.
Bears around the clock. Fair?
No, I think the only thing, Sam, you said you're depressed. Well, I think I'm still struggling a little bit with not being able to watch this Bears team on Sunday.
Yeah, I miss them very much.
There was a little withdrawal last Sunday, but also at this time
of year, right?
I'm used to them not being around. So now it feels fine. Like the Super Bowl, that's a different thing. It's a different sport.
But there was
momentum.
The Bears
don't play that. The last week it was like, oh yeah, you know, because they had just been there, and it was only 1 week away. It was like, oh, it's right there. And you know, you could say, well, the only difference between the Bears Rams games and the Seahawks Rams game is that the Rams had a special teams fuck up against Seattle, and they didn't against the Bears. I don't think that's actually 100% accurate.
They had two special teams fuck ups. Yeah.
Which, if they made one against the Bears, they'd lose. They would have lost. But I don't think that means the Bears would have beat the Seahawks. In fact, I tend to think they might have gotten beaten badly. But that doesn't matter. That's neither here nor there. I look forward to the offseason. I want to see what buzz they create. But, you know, we've talked about it. Whoever they sign in free agency, I'm not going to know who they are. You know, I'm sure they'll get a safety. I think Brisker's probably gone.
Sounds that way, yes.
They can't pay everybody.
Isn't the conventional thinking, though, to sign the younger guy and let the...
I would think so.
I think they want to draft Brisker's replacement. Yeah,
yeah, they want to get...
Because you can't trust his noggin either.
No, those guys don't have a long shelf life. I don't feel differently. I'm a little more antsy than I was, but that antsy really won't manifest itself till training camp. Because that's what
or
we
the
do.
Opening of free agency or draft night or.
I mean, draft night. It's going to take so long for them to have a pick. I'm not going to care. I'll let you guys text me when they make a pick. I'm not going to sit there for 25 picks waiting for the Bears. I don't have to do that anymore.
They whip through it now pretty quick.
Okay, but I'll still let you do it.
Need to watch Clay Matthews go up to the podium and shit his pants. And then eat it. Fucking loser.
Because somebody paid him to do it, yep.
Right.
I got a note here that says, I can't read.
How would he know that if it's on a note?
That's the joke. Anyway, all right. Well, let's get to the kids, and I won't say the Bears are in the box. They'll obviously come out of the box in 6 weeks when free agency opens, and John will break it all down for you. He'll be breaking down tape. He's in his basement with all his play sheets on the walls, and he's ready to go. I don't feel like it'll be quite the splash it was last March. They just don't have the space to do that, but they'll be doing something. I think your DJ Moore trade happens in 2027, not 2026.
I think they'll just probably cut him out right in 2027, but yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But he'll be reaching...
He'll
be reaching the he'll be reaching the threshold of 30... And, John, you know my policy on wide receivers who are 30 and over.
Can't have them.
Get them upstairs.
Mm-hmm. Can't win with them.
Can't do it. All right, what do the kids want to know?
Andrew, what was the one that you had but then got deleted?
I'm trying to remember it. It was essentially something about I had to get a Hawks jersey when they won in 10 and something, and then it was... Who's the most hated player on a championship team? Your most
that you,
hated player.
That you read it. That you
oh,
read,
no.
You
he ended up sending that directly to the account. It was Thomas Quinn.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll read it out here.
Boy.
Go ahead.
During the Hawks run in 2010, I made a pact with friends that if they won the cup, we would each buy each other our least favorite player on the team. What is your most hated player on any championship team you rooted for?
I mean, Bullock's probably pretty high up there.
Addison Russell comes to mind.
Yeah, but I don't want to count.
You didn't hate him until afterwards.
Yeah,
right?
It wasn't at the time. We didn't know at the time.
Aroldis Chapman,
we knew at the time. So that's. And then he tried to blow it. And then so did David Ross. He was up there too because I was sick of that shit. Anyone on the White Sox in 2005?
Trying to think if I hated any Bulls. Like specifically. Some of those white boys were pretty annoying. Dickie Simpkins. I never liked Dickie Simpkins. I don't know. I wouldn't say I hated him, though.
So I think the answer is probably Bolig.
Wasn't TVR on the 2015 team?
Yeah.
I didn't hate him as much as Bolig.
I didn't hate him as much as Bolig.
I didn't hate him as much as Bolig either, but like it was...
I hated his use. I didn't hate him.
Yeah. I suppose that's
you know,
fair.
Like he is what he is. I just hated
and has been ever since.
Has been ever since. He's gonna get like 1,000 games in the league. Reminds me when Rosner was co-hosting once with Bernstein, and Bernstein was talking about TVR, like he was at the poker charity event he hosted or something, and Rod just goes, could you ask him why he sucks so much? Yeah. Rosner saw the world the way we did.
Trevor Van Riemsdyk is 34 years old now.
God.
And has played 723 National Hockey League games. So he was...
He's
an overager.
Bolig, Chapman, Ross.
Persillo?
Yeah. Was he on the 15 team 13. Too, or just the 13?
No, just the 13.
Although he eventually in 13, he like carved out like a role I didn't have a problem with. He had to get hurt for Brandon Saad to play, but you know. Every time. Oh, Joe Quenneville, he's a master. Okay, let me tell you about a couple things. all right, what's next?
Let me scroll back down.
Brian
Yasudas, he's made it over.
Flying Yasudas, brother.
Yes, we can all exhale. He says, I can't stop watching that Caleb touchdown to Komet. What sports replay have you watched the most, mine is the last minute 33 from Game 6 in 2013, speaking of Dan Carcillo?
All of Caleb's highlights from 2025.
I mean, I've watched the regular season overtime throw plenty. That's the reason.
All of them, Sam. I've been watching all of his teeth.
All of them just over and
over. I celebrate his entire catalog.
I have watched fan videos of Montero's Grand Slam in the NLCS.
Oh, that's a good one.
A few hundred times. Not the Fox feed, just people who took videos from the stands.
I wish there was a video of the bar I was at when it happened. We knocked over a whole table, like just completely over.
I had to lift my friend off the bar. She had crawled onto the bar. So I had to pick her off of that. I've watched that plenty of times. Let's see. Obviously.
Was that Hurricane Ashley making landfall at the bar?
Yes, Hurricane Ashley was on full display. So that's like one singular moment. I've watched that plenty. I'm trying to think if there's a moment in the World Series. Brian's homer in Game 5, but not as much.
No, my most watched, I think this is accurate anyway, my most watched Cub highlight is Rondon closing out the Cardinals at home, I think.
Yeah, I've watched that one the most. Yeah, that's always good for a pick-me-up.
Yeah.
But
then, like John, I have watched more Bears highlights of this season's team than anything, probably.
I think cumulatively, just because of the time and when I started watching it, this will bring it back to today's earlier Real Show Jersey Corner discussion. Probably the Wilbur scoop and score. Just having it been shown to be passively 7 million times.
I found this run caused me to go back and watch the highlights of the win over the Seahawks in the playoffs, the game I was at, more often. And the Saints win. And that one I kind of just boiled down to, it's Jones who scores, he cuts back and like runs like 50 yards to run 20 yards.
Yeah.
And he and the tight end just start rolling around in the snow. Like that's when it was like official. Like that was like, okay, that's the clinching touchdown. We're not going to fuck this up. That made it like 38-16 or whatever. And that's when like everyone like exhaled and just let it out. Like I watched that a lot this past few weeks.
All right.
The Konerko Grand Slam.
Yeah, I imagine that's got to be high on the list.
Solid 10 years. I watched that quite a bit. What, Matt? Sorry.
I was just going to say, up next, we've got Headphone Easy Rider, the artist formerly known as Crypto Fartcoin, John's guy.
My guy.
It's John's guy.
Now that the season and its post-game locker room good, better, best celebrations have been put back in the box. See, longtime guy. He knows the bit,
yeah.
What do you think Kevin Hallelujah Hands Warren does to get his photo video bomb fix now?
Clearly just visiting areas in Indiana.
You're right. He'll be staring
open.
The state legislature is busy fucking being evil to trans kids. You know, yeah, go ahead and move.
Staring
yeah.
at vacant lots.
Yes, he'll be standing in a vacant lot in Indiana having his picture and video taken.
Right. And then eventually he'll have a hard hat in Harlington Heights.
Yep.
And he'll just go out there once a week with his hard hat and he'll get his picture taken. But yeah, that's a good question. He must be dying. Like he was so ready for the another one.
How badly do you think he wanted to be at the season-ending press conferences?
Oh,
well, he was there. He just wasn't up on the stage. Yeah, he's gonna be. Yeah, Kevin Warren will be doing the Pablo Escobar meme from the Narcos show, just standing staring at the empty plots of land in Indiana.
He'll be at the he'll be on the dais when they sign anyone in March for sure, right?
I don't know. I think that has passed. Now that Ben is the clear football guy, I don't know that you're going to see
Ben's going to tell him, get the fuck off my dance.
Yeah. Go do one, Kevin.
Yeah. when they do that, when they post the video of when they call their first round draft pick.
Oh, yes.
He'll be in there. Don't you worry. He'll take the phone from Bulls, and the draft pick will be like, who are you?
Thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you, sir. I don't know what's going on here. Can I talk to Ben now?
All right. Not a golfer. Again, clearly knows the bit.
Clearly one of ours. Yes.
With the Bears back in the box and this Hawks team that makes me want to commit seppuku, can we pivot to Illini corner? Are Big Brad's Eastern European All-Stars going to win it all?
I was noticing last night the Big Ten has like five of the top 15 teams or something.
Yeah.
Okay. Correct. Anyway, go ahead, John and Slack.
We could get an all Big Ten Final Four if the brackets
align.
Mm-hmm. I still just think of every Illini team, no matter how good, as just ripe to be upset.
Yep.
I think right now they're probably on a 2-3, like teetering in between a 2 seed today. Which would be great, but I think they have a high ceiling. It's just hard to imagine them not choking and just forgetting how to shoot for a whole game like they do every time.
Yeah, or they'll get stuck in a bracket with like
UConn
or somebody that's just like a complete powerhouse that is going to overwhelm them. Mm-hmm. Here's what I'll say. I'll say that win in Purdue was probably the biggest win of Big Brad's career at Illinois. Because that's not a game that I feel like they've won very much over his tenure.
No.
When they go into those hostile environments, they in a close game, they usually choke it away or just come up a little bit short. Like last year they won in Ann Arbor, but it was because they shot like 80% from the floor or something and beat Michigan by like 50 points. Like, I don't count that. That's not a big win because the game wasn't really close and it never was close. That was a close game through and through, and they came out on the winning side and against a real team. Like, yeah. That's the team that could very well win the national championship this year. I would say that
very satisfying.
This is the best.
Uh-oh.
Like Andrew, though, waiting for the trap door to fall out at any moment.
And correct me if I'm wrong, if I overstep my bounds, John and Slack, but as an observer of the passing scene, I feel like Illini fans are usually not pretty thrilled with Big Brad's management of tournament games.
Correct.
Yeah, that's accurate.
So it's Big Brad and Big Brett, right?
Big Brad, yes. Correct. Yes.
Got a lot of bigs down
there. They got a lot of bigs down there in Champaign.
Too many Big Brads and Big Bretts. But yeah, I mean, having a freshman go off for 46 points in Purdue's building is very un-Illini-like.
I mean, it's going to be a big march if you get a Final Four run and a big Bears free agency period. You guys are going to be hard to contain.
Yeah, we'll be back.
We'll be back.
Mm-hmm.
To get their asses mopped with by Loyola again, and the arts of Sister Jean.
Sister Jean is resurrecting, and
all yeah.
Ugh. I'm surprised John ever made it through that. Honestly,
What, the Loyola game?
Yeah.
Losing them losing
I was like, this should have killed him. All rights and measures, this should have killed him.
Well, it did kill a piece of me, Sam.
Yeah.
It killed Sister Jean, too.
Yeah. I can't get jazzed up for Illini basketball until they prove to me that they, like, I won't believe it until they're in the Final Four. Like, I'm not getting excited about anything until they're in the Final Four.
Flying Illini Redux.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, Kendall still looks like he could just suit up.
All right. We've got a an elaborate one with thought experiment here.
Oh, God.
But this is right in John's wheelhouse.
Uh-oh.
You've been asked to consult every sporting league to help perform a reduction in force activity by banning teams for the pettiest reason possible. Discounting obvious rivals. Who's getting banished to the Shadow Realm and for what?
Okay, John already has a list of teams that have been mm-hmm. banned from the playoffs.
Multiple sport.
Mm-hmm. I believe leading off with the New Orleans Saints.
No, the whole NFC South is banned.
Is banned. Just gone.
I believe the Los Angeles Clippers are banned.
Mm-hmm.
I decided last night I am banning the Minnesota Wild because you are not the Minnesota North Stars. You don't get to wear those colors. If you
for mentioning that, Sam.
Even if they look great. If you want to be the North Stars, you call the Dallas Stars and you work something out. Or you just have the Dallas Stars and the Minnesota North Stars and we deal with it. But if you want to wear North Star colors, then be the North Stars.
Yeah, you otherwise, could have a team called the you could have a team called the Stars and the North Stars. There's two Soxes.
There's two Soxes. There were two Rough Riders. I don't believe there are anymore.
Well, and one's the Lone Star and one's the North Star.
Right. We have two giants in two different sports. So just be, if you want to be the North Stars, be the North Stars.
Got multiple Rangers and Jets.
Wild really is one of the all-time worst team names in history.
Yeah.
And also too, like every goddamn day, half the teams in the NHL are military humping something. Everyone went to West Point and has got to incorporate that horse shit into their stupid uniforms. Between the Golden Knights and the fucking Ducks and the Panthers also. And then the Winnipeg, you know, basically using the Canadian Air Force logo. So.
But we gotta ban teams for petty reasons, he says.
Well, yeah
I don't
saying.
Understand the Wild. I mean, stealing the North Stars design of the jerseys, one thing, but then they were wearing the pants. The pants had stars along the
side. Yeah, the pants had the old, like, yeah, four
what?
Stars on.
No. I mean, if you're going to do that, put your logo on it or come up with some design to make it somewhat different. I mean, just ripping off the old pants, you might, again, just, yeah, call yourself the North Stars. Okay, so other NFL teams that are banned, I think.
Oh, it could be any team. It doesn't have to be the NFL.
Oh, no, but I got a whole, yeah.
Yeah, because he's got his whole list. We got to go league by league here.
Yeah.
he's got his whole list.
Yeah, the entire NFC South, the entire AFC North, and
that's like three of the most traditional franchises.
The
right?
Mariners
and the Dolphins.
The Mariners definitely. The Blue Jays definitely.
Yes, I was getting to that to baseball. The Mariners, the Angels, the Blue Jays, gone, banned.
Didn't you ban the Atlanta Braves at one point too? But then they won, so you had to unban them.
Yep. Yep. We had to take off the list.
I know you don't read the Joe Sheehan newsletter, but he was talking about the Giants hiring the Tennessee, their manager from University of Tennessee. And he was talking about how college baseball is closer, much closer to Major League Baseball right now. And he's talking about Tennessee's program. He's like, Tennessee has a better baseball program than the Angels now. It's like, it's a perfect prep ground.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Angels are...
Dreadful.
No one would notice if you got rid of the Angels. Like, if there was just a hole on your schedule... And people were like, oh, yeah, that's where you were going to play the Angels, but you just get the 3 days off now. People are like, oh, yeah, okay.
I mean, the entire AL West, really, you can get rid of.
Yeah, you could.
Sam's A's, gone.
I mean, they don't Mariners, exist anymore. You know.
Rangers.
Rangers kind of, they bought their champ, but, like, that's what you do in baseball. Yeah. So.
Yeah, they got to retrieve. They got a reprieve for winning it, but they were banned for a very long time.
The Rangers are banned because you got to pick a color. Some of their jerseys are blue. Some of them are red. You don't get both. You got to pick one.
You're just doing all of them. And they're mixing their eras and their design. Graphic design is clearly not their passion because it's not coherent.
Yeah, get out of here. Tired of that shit. All right, one more.
Last one here, and there were a couple that were asking basically this gist, but John, not our John, different John, was asking, I'm sure it's planned, but would like to know everyone's favorite Terry Bore's memory and alias. He says, it's hard to pick, but mine is where he whispered by Cracky in the call with Steve Stone when he was talking about Harry, and Edward Dickman as his, as the favorite alias. Apparently that gave Goff a stroke.
Yeah, it did.
According to Legend.
I obviously have so many, like Matt, like John, I grew up listening to Bores, so it's 25 years of material. I will just go with the first one, and I've used it far too many times. I've probably driven into the ground. But the first time I ever heard him say, I believe it was Dan Pasqua, and he was making fun of George Hoffman. Dan Pasqua, you can't hit a bull in the ass with a snow shovel. And I don't think I've ever laughed harder. You know, I was 12 years old at that point, and the first time I heard "bull in the ass with a snow shovel," I just lost it. I still think about that.
This goes all the way back to the original Secondhand News on the 8 to 12 time slot, where he referred to is when Tiger first started dating Elin Nordegren. And he referred to her as Tiger's Swedish meat hole.
Sam,
maybe only Sam will remember this, but one of my favorite oldie Terry aliases was Frosty Peters.
Frosty Peters, yeah, I do remember that. John, do you have one you want
to? Yeah, mine's a little obscure. You know,
the better.
Uh-oh. I do feel like this was. Uh oh, did you lose me?
No, you're good. You're good.
Oh, okay. I feel like this was something that was a little bit. They were, again, with Bores and Bernstein, they were ahead of their time. But this is something that I feel like we do a lot in our show and a lot of other places.
Well,
but
we've
I don't
stolen
remember.
Basically the whole shtick, yeah. Except I don't remember, except it's a four man show.
I don't remember other places doing this ever, and it was so funny to me at the time. But it was, again, to bring it back to Illini Corner. It was during that Illinois run when they were undefeated until they lost to Ohio State. But the sun, and if you recall, the city was ablaze with Illini fever that at that point.
It was during the lockout too. There was nothing else to watch.
Right, right. And Dan and Terry were kind of like the they were making fun of everybody who was so overly excited about the Illinois team and had these delusions of grandeur as to the players on the team and what their NBA prospects were. And there was somebody, I can't remember who, wrote a whole Sun-Times feature about the draft prospects of all 12 of the players on that Illinois team.
Right.
And the prognostications were just completely so far-fetched. And Andrew will remember him, but Nick Smith was featured on there.
Yes.
And
Chainsaw.
Yeah. And I think they had said that he was a potential late first round pick. And when they read that, Terry practically had a stroke on the air.
To give you the
yeah. And it's just, it was one of those small things. And it was so funny. But also I felt like very, nobody was doing that at the time.
Right.
And if you remember too, Terry was in the bag because James Augustine was like his next door neighbor.
Right, right. That was like his buddy, and he knew the whole family from when he was like a toddler. So yeah. And he was even saying, like, because they had Augustine draft prospects as like a lottery pick, and Terry was saying something along the lines of, he's not a lottery pick.
He's not a lottery.
I've known the kid my whole life. I wish he was a lottery pick. He's right. Not going to be a lottery pick. I wish his family that he would get that kind of money for being a lottery pick. But
I feel an urge to mention what I think was my brother's favorite Terry Bores moment. It was right about when Bores and Bernstein first switched to the afternoons, because we all remember they started in the mornings, moved to middays, and eventually Afternoon Drive. So this was right after they moved to Afternoon Drive. And I think they were talking about Jim Leland or Sparky Anderson. And Boars is talking about
Iron.
Some old grizzled manager. And Boars is talking about how he got this guy yelled at him once or twice. And Bernstein's like, oh, he yelled at you? And Boars like, oh, yeah, a lot of guys yelled at me. And then Bernstein goes on to like try and transition to the next segment. And in the background, Boars just starts listing all the baseball guys who yelled at him. He's like, in the back, you just hear Bill Buckner. Yeah. Like Willie McGee. Like, he's just going on. All these guys. And like, Bernstein's like, oh, this sucks. I've been brought to you. And he's just listing off these guys who yelled at him. And it kept going.
Well, and famously, too, Terry also was almost killed by Artis Gilmore.
Yes.
When he was covering the Bulls, because he referred to him in a column or piece or whatever, because Artis was often hurt as Rigor Artis.
The other thing, too, that I forgot and then remembered.
I forgot. That's it. Again,
his column was syndicated in the Herald. I don't know that people recall that or mention it.
I do. I definitely remember that.
Or did he switch?
Yeah, he switched.
But he was there. I mean,
yeah. I believe he switched after he was at the Score.
Yeah,
or it was because it was syndication, or he broke.
It was just because. Yeah, I think John caught up with it.
Yeah.
Again, if John's computer worked properly, this podcast would only be 45 minutes long.
You were there the whole time. I heard you the whole time.
Yeah, but your audio wasn't coming through, and then it came through like hyper fast.
I see.
Oh, well, boy. I mean, we could do our own Terry retrospective, but there's plenty of them out there, and you can find them.
By people that actually, Sam knew him.
I knew him. I'm blessed to have. He will forever have poisoned my mind.
Again, we've referred to this show as Sons of Boars, because there's a lot of those to begin with. So
yes, there are. We don't have Boars' face, but
despite our best efforts,
it's funny. We got the news Friday. Matt texted me. Jay Zawoski was kind enough to text me as well to let me know. And you know, when someone like that who's important to a scene that you're a part of, and we are a part of this scene, passes like that, usually, you know, I feel mostly sad, and I rue how old I've gotten, that this is the kind of thing I'm doing more regularly now. But when I got the news with Terry, I just started laughing about all the things that made me laugh. And I feel like everyone did. Everyone was just like, this bastard is too silly to sit here and cry over, you know.
Well, apparently, apparently they did a retrospective on 670, which I didn't listen to, but they Bernstein said that when Ronchi came back from break, he introduced it as the Terry Boars' death post game show, which Terry would have loved.
Right, absolutely. And I feel like that. What more could anyone want? I hope. You know, I obviously will not saying I have anywhere near the impact, but I hope when I die, which should be next week, that the people who know me just laugh, that I've provided them enough where they just like, oh, remember when he wrote this, or he said this, or he did this? Remember when he got banned from the Score? Stuff like that. So how could a life be more well-lived than that? On that note, we will wrap this up, and we'll adjust to a winter schedule, but we don't know what that is yet. So we'll let you know. But until then, for Matt, for John, for Slack, I am Sam. Thank you so much for listening, for downloading, and please rate, review, and share, and subscribe. Until then, Top Guys out.
I beg your pardon. I never